If you would, if you have your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, I want you to notice a phrase. We'll learn this, who this group is tonight. And the sons of the prophets. Now, this is a group of preachers, young preachers primarily, that live together, and they worship the Lord together, and they serve the Lord together, and they were sort of mentored by the head prophet. And earlier, the head prophet was Elijah, of which Elisha was one of those sons of the prophet. And then Elisha is elevated to the chief prophet. And so the sons of the prophet, and there were different groups, places, cities where the sons of the prophet would gather. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to chapter 2 and look at verse number 3. I want you to notice this, if you would, in verse 3 of chapter 2. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou not? Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. I know that. So you got to understand, here's the sons of the prophet. They came to Elisha and said, Hey, your master's going to be taken to heaven today. He said, I know that. So somehow God got the word around, perhaps to Elisha, or Elijah told them, I'm going to heaven today. And then he gave the word, spread it out to all the sons of the prophet. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. So you can see the sons of the prophets were watching out to see who was going to be the next prophet that God would use and speak to. And it was Elisha. You'll notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to chapter 4 and verse number 1. And you'll see again, there cried a certain widow of the wise of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. So he's a pastor, he's a preacher, but he's married. He's got children. And you'll notice he's got two sons, but they didn't have a lot of money. And so you'll notice that he got into debt. And Elisha had to provide the plan to get him out of debt. And there's the widow's oil. And then notice, if you would, in verse number, chapter 4, verse 38. Look with me, if you would. Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him. So he's teaching them, and they're learning. And it's time for a meal. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophet. Let's feed them. Now, many times they didn't eat but once a day. And so they all go out and gather vines and things that they could put in the pot for a meal. And this is the story of him healing the poisonous pottage. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse 41, and he said, then bring meal, and he cast into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. So you can understand the sons of the prophets were a group of men that lived together, much like you'd say a monastery, but it wasn't that way. They lived together, and the head prophet would teach them. So they were sitting, and that's where this meal came from. They were sitting at the feet of the prophet, and he was teaching them. Then notice, if you would, in chapter number 6, and notice, if you would, in verse number 1, as our story begins tonight, Roman number 1, Elisha caused an axe head to swim. This is one of the miracles that he does. You'll notice, I believe this is the 11th miracle, but you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 6, verse 1, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we live, where we dwell with thee, is too straight for us, is too narrow for us, is too small for us. Elisha, there's too many of us. We've got a lot of men that have been dedicated to serve you and to serve the Lord, and we need a bigger place. And he said in verse number 2, Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go. So he said, look, you go ahead and go to this area, and we'll build a bigger place where we can all dwell together. So verse number 4, and he went with them. When they were come to Jordan, they cut down wood. So they got together and said, we'll cut our own wood, we'll build our own buildings, and we'll have a place to stay. Well, one of them, notice in verse 5, but one, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, this is one of the ways that you get into debt. He didn't have the money to pay for it, and he borrowed it. We have to be careful when we borrow things. And so he did borrow this axe head. It falls into the water, and he knows he'll never find it. And so he says, look, he said, oh, master, he said, what am I going to do? And I'm certain on his mind was chapter 4, verse 1, the widow who had her two sons taken as creditors for credit. And so he said, look, oh, master, what am I going to do? You know, I don't have any money. They could come take me for credit. Notice, if you would, in verse 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. So I would imagine he's chopping down a tree and the axe head comes off and kind of slings out in. And so I want you to notice about this story. A, in the outline, the sons of the prophet were a group of preachers that lived together and served the man of God, the prophet of God. That's A. Now notice B, one of the sons of the prophet had borrowed the axe head. And it had fallen off the handle and gone to the water of the Jordan River. Now, understand, see, he had no way to pay for the axe head. He was desperate and needed God to help him. He went to Elijah for help. Now, you and I would look at it in a simple thing and say, well, it's just an axe head. It's a little thing. But the lesson, I think, remember, nothing in Scripture is there by accident. So why would God tell us the story of a lost axe head? Well, I think it's a couple of reasons, but you'll notice if you will get to it in a minute. But I want you to notice, if you would, D in the outline, Elisha asked where it had fallen, and he cut down another axe handle and threw it into the water. The axe head apparently attached to the handle, and the son of the prophets took it out of the water. Look at verse 5 and 6, verse 6 rather. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Obviously, this is a miracle of God. Therefore, he said, take it up to thee, and put out his hand, and he took it. So apparently this, he throws out another axe handle, and the iron swims up and attaches itself. Apparently, he reached down and grabs it, and he takes it out. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline E, there's some lessons to learn here. All of us can learn the lessons. It's very important. Notice, if you would, one, God can do anything. How many of you have ever lost something, couldn't find it, and you prayed about it and did find it? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you ever looked for it a long time before you thought to pray for it? Raise your hand. Okay? One of the lessons here is learn to ask the Lord quickly. Notice this man sees the axe head go right into the water, and he throws up his hands and says, oh, master, it's gone. Will you help me? He was desperate about it. If we were desperate about little things in our life, boy, our lives would be cleaner. If we were desperate about little things in our life, God could bless us in many, many ways. We would have more blessings that we could brag about our children to the Lord. There would be more blessings we could have to raise our hand in prayer meeting and say, the Lord did this and the Lord did that. And if we're not careful, the old devil wants us to wait around for big things. Well, maybe a big thing is that you got a promotion at work and you were waiting for 5 years to get it. Or you got a job and you had lost yours. And so those are big things. But what about the little thing, the axe head that swims? The time whenever you lost something and it was big to you. And I want you to notice tonight, this is a story about God can do anything, one, but notice two, God is interested in little things that are big to us. You and I need to learn this lesson. When you think of the swimming axe head, remember, if it's big to you, it's important to the Lord. Oh, well, you know, Lord, my tooth hurts. You know, the dentist doesn't open up until Monday. Lord, would you help me to make it till Monday? And the Lord does. It's a little thing. Maybe you've lost something that's important to you. And so you begin to get out and say, Lord, could you help me find this? I mean, there are times when I've misplaced a bill, and Lord, I need to find that bill. I don't know where it is. Or I've misplaced some money. You know, I had some money put back, and Lord, I need to go use that money. And Lord, could you please help me remember? Lord, I put my wallet someplace, or Lord, I dropped my keys. The other day I was driving, and I came home and went into the house and started looking around for my keys. I couldn't find them anywhere. I said, oh, Lord, I need that key. You know, the keys to these new vehicles are $200 or $300 a piece. Lord, would you please help me to find that key? And I thought of every place I could think of, and I went out to my truck, and I sat down and pushed the button, and it started. I said, Lord, thank you. It's in the truck someplace. And so I started looking all over the place, and sure enough, it had fallen out of my pocket right down by the seat. I would have never found that if I had not taken the time to say, Lord, could you help me? I need that key. Little things that are big to us are important to the Lord. Why? Because you're important to the Lord. This is the son of the prophet. He's a poor man. And he loses an axe head that he's borrowed. And he just simply doesn't have the money to replenish it. And so he prays. Notice the desperation. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, he may not have cried out so much if it was his own, but the fear of being somebody's slave or being sold for a bill just terrified him. I am certain the story of the widow and her two sons had circulated all through the sons of the prophet. He says, oh, alas, master, it was borrowed. I'll have to pay it back. I don't have the money. And I want you to understand tonight that it didn't take that long for the prophet to say, cut down a stick, let's throw it in the water. Notice, if you would, 3, we must ask in order to receive. Many a time we worry and fret about things, and we think about things ourselves, and then we wonder about how we're going to take care of a bill, or how we're going to do this, or what it's going to be like when we go to the doctor, or if the doctor is going to tell us good news or bad news, and we don't take the time to say, Lord, here, this is important to me. Would you help me? And tonight, the lesson of the swimming axe head simply is, even if it's little, if it's big to you, it's important to the Lord. So talk to him about it. And that's exactly what happened to this son of the prophet. He knew exactly who to go to and what to say, and the answer was there. Now, you'll notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2 in the outline, Elisha protected Israel by revealing the enemy's secret plans. Israel was not strong enough to win their own battles. They needed the Lord. And so you'll notice in verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall my camp be. So he said, look, we're going to do a surprise attack. Let's get together. We'll go over here on this side of Israel, and we'll attack them. And so all of them get together, and they move the camp. Well, notice, if you would, A in the outline, Syria was at war with Israel. They got together, and Ben-Hadad revealed his battle plan of a surprise attack. And notice B, God told Elijah where the attacks would take place, and Israel avoided them. Look in verse 8 and verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So apparently they knew the path and the plans of the Israelites, how they would attack in battle, and so they set an ambush for them. And so the prophet, because he's in contact with the Lord, says, look, don't go that way. Beware. And notice, if you would, see in the outline. Ben-Hadad thought one of his men was a traitor until they told him it was Elisha that was revealing his secret plans. Notice in verse 11. Therefore, in verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So this kept happening over and over and over again. And so Ben-Hadad naturally says, which one of you is for the enemy? Notice in verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Which one is a traitor? I don't know how they knew it, but apparently the word got around, and it may be that one of the Israelite themselves told him, said, you guys will never catch us, because our God tells our pastor, our preacher, and he tells our generals and our king, and we know exactly what you're doing, so we always avoid you. So notice, if you would, in verse number 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. So when you're talking about it, and you invite everybody into your bedroom, and you start talking about where you're going to put the next ambush, Elisha hears about it. Obviously, their God is bigger than our gods. And so he hears about it, and he says, well, I can fix that. Notice what he does. In verse in D in the outline, the Syrians surrounded the city in the home of Elisha. And when Elisha's assistant woke up, he saw the huge army around them and asked Elijah how they would survive. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, one of my favorite Bible stories. And again, here's a lesson in God's protection. The first lesson is our importance to the Lord. And the little things, the private things to us that are important to God because they're important to us. Notice verse 13, our safety is important to the Lord. And notice, if you would, and he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, he must have been a southern Texan because fetch is a good word. You'll notice he said, and it was told him saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night. Now this Ben-Hadad was a slick operator in the sense that he liked to do a surprise attacks and attack at night. And so he ends up coming in and filtering in around Elisha's house during the evening when nobody would notice. And it worked. Therefore, notice if you would, sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Now notice this. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master. Notice the same wording. I've often wondered if it's the same guy that lost the axe head. Alas, my master, how shall we do? What's going to happen to us? How are we going to survive? Now, we can either be like the fearful prophet. Notice, if you would, in the servant of the man of God. He was one of the sons of the prophets. He just got to be privileged to take care and be with Elisha. He goes out early in the morning and sees this army encamped around the entire city. And apparently Elisha was there, the mountains around the area. And he says, oh my, we're in trouble. We're surrounded. Now, in this day, when an army surrounded a city, that meant they were going to starve them to death. They were just going to starve them out. And now this city is not a city of battle. It's not a city with soldiers in it. The preacher's in this town. So you'll notice in verse number 16, he answered, fear not. Now, this is Elisha's first words. Whenever the son of the prophet comes running in, he says, Elisha, we're surrounded. How are we going to survive? Elisha says, don't be afraid. That ought to be our first response to our children, to your wife, to even our husband, to our neighbors, to the people at work. Don't be afraid. The question is, these miracles are done to allow us to have faith and trust that our God can and will do anything. Do you understand the same God that did this miracle loves you and cares about you? He can do this again. You know, if I were to take this and say, 13 years ago, we, like now, our parking is full without COVID. Parking lot's packed. People on the grass. You know, we need a bigger parking lot, more space. A school, we need more classrooms. We started looking for a piece of land. I must have made offers on, I don't know how many different pieces of land. 20 acres here, 15 acres here, 11 acres here. And then the 33 acres in Ashburn came up. And it was exactly the time in 2008 when the market tanked. Now, there's no way we could have known that. But our banker was ready. We had all the money ready. We had the exact amount of money we needed. And whenever that market tanked, we put an offer on this piece of property. Did you know there were 17 different bidders on that property? We said, you know, we've got to have this piece of property to have a future for our church. And so we made a strong offer. Does anybody know what happened? We got the offer. They called us down and said, how can a church buy this piece of land? And they called, I said, call our banker. We had $1 million in the bank, $1.2 million, and he called the banker, and the banker says, look, you just sign on the dotted line, we'll close on it. Are you sure this church can close? I am sure this church will close. Are you sure? We're sure. So then they go do the estimate. I mean, they go do the appraisal on it. He said, now you got to get an appraisal on it. So we go do the appraisal on it. And we had offered $7 million for the property. And keep in mind, it's 33 acres. And keep in mind, none of us knew all that's going to happen. And so yet we know, Lord, you got to help us. You got to guide us. And so what happens? And the Lord gives us this 33 acres, of which we can't use it all. And so we trade some of it for the proffers, and then the Lord gives us the 19 acres, and guess what the appraisal came back at? Anybody know what the appraisal came back at? $5.8 million. And the Teamsters Union in Washington State said, well, that's not fair. Their exact words, I'll remember till the day I die, we're going to take a haircut on this property. And I said, Lord, thank you. Give them a burr, Lord. Give them a burr. Well, they had to lower the price $1.2 million. And we bought the property for $6 million after we paid our realtors. Now, that same piece of property is now going to be sold for $26 million. I talked to the man today. He said, we want to close on it as quickly as we can. Do you understand the Lord takes care of people that just try to do the right thing? And there's no possible way any of us in this room could ever know the plan of God. But God makes no mistakes. We just must be patient with things. We can't be afraid. I can tell you there are many times I was afraid. Lord, I don't know how to do this. Does anybody remember how much the taxes were on it each month when we first bought it? $15,000 a month. And so we were going out there and build a little outdoor chapel so that we could get off the tax rolls. And I remember one night we voted in here to build the outdoor chapel for $300,000. And I don't know if you remember it or not, but that night at 8 o'clock at night, I got home. It's a Sunday night after church, and my phone rings. It's the attorney that helped us get the land. He says, I got good news for you. I said, what's that? I didn't realize it. I mean, I knew it, but he had been elected as our elected representative for Richmond, and he had personally taken it upon himself to get churches all over the state tax-free on land they owned but weren't building on. He said, the law passed. He said, I just wanted you to know it goes into effect July 1. That was June 10th. I said, what law? The law that you no longer pay taxes on that property. You mean you went to Richmond and you got the law passed for all the churches in Virginia because you saw what our piece of property was being done to us? We were paying 15. He said, yeah, it got passed. I'll never forget that night. Get down, Lord. How do I say thank you? Little things, big to us. Big things. Lord, I can remember saying, Lord, how are we going to do this? It's almost like the Lord says, don't be afraid. Fret not. Fret not. I got this. Fret not. Notice what he says. Look here if you would. Verse number 16, he answered, fear not. Don't be afraid. For they that be with us are more than they be with them. Now, if I would have been that son of the prophet, I would have said, hey, Elijah, I only count two. And I'm one of them. And I'm scared. Notice what he says. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes, his eyes, that he may see. So he must have asked the same question I was thinking about asking. Notice what he does. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The Lord said, I got this. Now, you know, the funny part about it, you don't hear anything more about the story. It's almost like the son of the prophet said, oh, they're in trouble. You're right. They're in trouble. And I can imagine him looking at Elisha and say, Elisha, next time I say, alas, master, how are we going to survive this? Just tell me. Don't be afraid. And help me to learn that lesson. As he looks around and sees the chariots of fire, the angels, oh, I can't believe the Lord would do that for us. Just two people. Notice, if you would, verse 18. I don't know if you understand the connection, but notice, if you would, E in the outline. Elisha prayed and God revealed a myriad of angels covering the mountains around them. And God always has more angels for us than Satan does people against us. Just remember that. We must learn to trust the Lord and not fret. We must always learn that the Lord takes care of his children. Our job is just to do what's right and believe him. Do what's right and trust him. And let him take care of it. It's a fun ride if we just get on the coattails of the great God of heaven and follow him. And tonight I want to encourage you to do that. Get on the coattails of the great God of heaven and let's just follow him. Follow him as individuals. And whenever you run up something that's little to you or big to you and little to everybody else, Lord, could I talk to you for a minute? And remember, he sees it. Go back to the little children's story. He heard a conversation in a private home. He sees an axe head going to the water. The Lord cares about you and I. I just want you to understand that tonight. He cares about every dollar that you and I have. He cares about every burden that you carry. He cares about every fear that you have. But you and I have to learn to say, Lord, I trust you. I will trust you. Because you know what? The preacher couldn't dive into the water and find the axe head in the first place. The son of the prophet couldn't defend himself against the army all the way around the city. So we might as well learn to trust him. And then notice, I like number three. Elisha prayed for blindness for the Syrians until he could lead them away, and God sent temporary blindness to the Syrians. Now, notice if you would, I like this, verse 18. And they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. And when they came down to him, who? Whenever the Syrians started coming down to his house, and they were going to take him back captive to Ben-Hadad, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. And said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Now, Elisha had a thought, had must have thought about this. How, Lord, could I defend myself? Lord, how could I get, what could I ask you to do to protect me? Well, I could have called those angels down from heaven. But Lord, would you just send blindness to them? Now, he had a plan in his mind, I believe, to spare these people. Notice if you would. And he, verse 18, he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. According to the word of Elisha. He answered exactly what he asked for. We need to learn to ask the Lord for big things. Now, this is a big thing. It's not an axe head. It's an entire army safety. Notice if you would, A in the outline, God showed his great power through his servant Elisha. Can you imagine? We don't know how many people there are here, maybe tens of thousands, and they all go temporarily blind. Notice B, Elisha showed his great kindness to his enemies by feeding and sending them away with their sight. Notice in verse 20, an amazing story that Elisha teaches us how to deal with our enemies. So Elisha must have, in his mind, said, you know, Lord, I don't want your armies to destroy all these people. Lord, I'd like to let them see how great a God we have. So, Lord, would you strike them with blindness so I can take them down to Samaria and feed them all and send them back home? So notice what happens in verse 20. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. So Elisha says, okay, look, guys, follow me. Well, they can't see. They're terrified. So they follow the voice that they hear, and he leads them to Samaria. And this is a long ways from where Elisha's city is. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 21, the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Do we go ahead and kill them all right now? And Elisha says, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite them, those whom thou hast taken captive with thy bow and with thy sword and the bow? No. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go there to their master. Now, you got to understand this. This is a time of famine. And Elisha says, feed them bread and water. There's no meat here. It's simply bread and water. Feed them a meal, bread and water, and send them away. Notice if you would. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more in the land of Israel. Okay, notice in the outline. See, we must learn, we must be clean and usable for God to show his great power through our holy lives. Now, and notice the last sentence. Are we usable? And do we believe he can and will answer our prayers? So we've got to be clean enough to pray and strong enough to reach out to the Lord, trusting enough to say, Lord, I know you can answer this prayer. Lord, I know you can help me. And so, Lord, would you answer this prayer? So let's ask for little things, the swimming axe head, and big things for safety from that which we cannot protect ourselves. Tonight, look at these three miracles and let them increase your faith. Let them encourage your heart. And I would remind you, every one of them are for us. God left them in the book. He put them there specifically so we could see that God is concerned about little things in our lives. He's concerned about you and I talking to him. And we are always in a safe place. The angels of God always watching out for us. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews and we'll close chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 1, I'm sorry. Verse number 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool, speaking of Jesus Christ. And then he makes a simple comment. Are not they all ministering spirits, the angels of heaven, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's us. So God sends his angels to take care of us, watch out for us, provide for us. Dr. James Crumpton, many years ago, I was a teenager. I think I was 19 years old. I was in a Bible conference, Garland, Texas. I heard Dr. James Crumpton, a preacher out of Mississippi, preach a sermon entitled one word, Jesus. I sat there spellbound for an hour. As he went through every book of the Bible, in Genesis, he's the beginning, in Exodus, he's the way out, in Leviticus, he's the law, in Numbers, and he went down through every book of the Bible. And I was just mesmerized at how wonderful Jesus was. In the middle of that message, he's preaching away. He said, you know, we got to learn to trust the Lord. And he said, you got to understand that prayer works, and you need to learn to pray and learn to trust the Lord for your prayers. And he said, I was traveling back from a preaching conference. It was early in the morning. I was tired, and I dozed off. And something woke me up, and I had both hands on the wheel, and I was headed straight for a concrete embankment. He said, I didn't move. I froze. And my car moved back into the center of the road. I went over the bridge, got on the other side, got down and stopped my car and knelt down and said, Lord, how do I say thank you for your safety and protection? Went back to my office, got a phone call the next morning. Three elderly ladies. Pastor, are you okay? Yes, why? Well, yesterday morning, early, about such and such a time, we called each other. The Lord just burdened our heart that we needed to pray for you. And we all got up and prayed for you. It was about, and he mentioned the time, and it was the time he's driving. He said, I want you to understand, there is a God in heaven that listens to the prayers of young people and old people, and he listens to prayers that are little and that are big. But you and I need to learn to trust him and to believe that he can do anything. Tonight, let's learn to trust him and ask for little things and big things. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, tonight I'm thankful that these three little miracles are in the scriptures. Lord, I ask you to forgive me when I have so little faith. Lord, that you can't do something. Lord, I pray that you would do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, would you defend us when it's necessary? Would you protect us when it's necessary? Would you bless us, Lord? We are totally dependent upon you. Now, Lord, speak to hearts tonight. Would you help everyone tonight to see your greatness, to see your compassion, to see your care, and to cause us to know that you hear us when we cry out to you. In your name we pray.